All right, we have been, we started looking at various things in our Constitution that are in our statement of faith, what we believe. And so we have looked at a few things concerning God and concerning the Lord Jesus, and we are now looking at our Lord's death and what that death on the cross did for us, what Christ gave us when he went to the cross to die for each and every one of us so we could be saved from our sin and go to heaven, spend eternity with him in heaven. And so last week we started looking at six words, all right? Six good, solid Bible words. And these Bible words explain the meaning of Christ's death. These show us, these six words show us the meaning of our Lord's death, all right? Word number one was atonement, atonement. All right. So if you need these words spelled for you, holler it out and I'll spell them for you. All right. But I want you to get them. All right. So atonement. And what we learned about the word atonement is that it is found 76 times in the Old Testament, but it's only found one time in the New Testament. And the one time that it is found in the New Testament is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. And that word atonement literally means a covering. So the Lord Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood, and the picture that was given of this in the Old Testament was like the priest going in, the high priest going in to the Holy of Holies and pouring the blood of the Lamb upon the altar, in the Holy of Holies upon the mercy seat, and that blood covered that altar. And the whole idea behind atonement is that through the blood of Christ, we are, think of the word now, think of the word, A-T, we are at, O-N-E, one-ment. We are at one with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the word atonement. And back in the Old Testament, the blood that of the Lamb was made for an atonement, and it was that which covered sin. Now the reason that it covered sin was simply because it was not possible. If you remember, go to the book of Hebrews real quick. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. All right, chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. All right, everybody have it? Look at, please, verse 4. It says, for it is what? Not possible. So it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So if in the Old Testament, when they brought the blood of the animal, if it didn't take away sin, what did it do? Well, it covered it. It covered it. It made atonement. And back in the Old Testament, before the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that was how men were rightly related to God, through the at-one-ment, atonement. All right? And so it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Now, you'll remember when John the Baptist was down at the Jordan and he was baptizing converts, and the Lord Jesus came. And what did John say? John said, "Behold thee." Thee, not a. All right, all those Old Testament sacrifices were a lamb. But John said, "Behold the lamb." All those Old Testament lambs covered, their blood covered sin. But now John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So since Christ has come, we come to him by faith and believe that he died and was buried and was raised again. And when we believe that, we get saved from our sin. And atonement through the blood is made. So thank the Lord for that beautiful Old Testament word that is brought into the New Testament through that verse in Romans chapter 5. All right, now, the second word, this is a big old word, but it's not that difficult when you think about it. And the second word that describes what salvation means, what it does for us, is the word propitiation. All right, now let me spell that one for you. All right, it's P-R-O-P, prop. All right, P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N, propitiation. This word means to appease. And this is a wonderful word, and it covers a beautiful part of our salvation. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about God's wrath. And it is interesting now how in the New Testament, our Lord's death is viewed as appeasing God and his wrath against our sin. All right? The blood of Christ dying in our place has created an appeasement. And God looks at the death of his son and accepts that in our place. So God's wrath was appeased through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Look for just a second at Romans 3. Go back to Romans 3. All right, Romans chapter 3, and look please at verse 25. 3 and verse 25. And let's go back to 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, all right, an appeasement through faith in his blood. So by faith, you remember, it's impossible to please God. And so by faith, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust his shed blood. And through that blood, look at the rest of the verse. It says, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So we receive a propitiation for our sins. So that's the word propitiation, to appease. All right, everybody got that one? That seemed to be the one that threw everybody last week, and I think because it was difficult to spell. All right, I hope that's why. All right, the third word, substitution. Substitution. And this is, again, going back to the idea that the Lord Jesus Christ vicariously died in my stead. All right, what's vicarious mean? In my stead or in my place. So Jesus went to the cross and he took our place in death. He is our substitute in this matter of death. Instead of the wrath of God being poured out upon me, the wrath of God was poured out upon God's only begotten Son as he hung on the cross, and the death of Christ or Christ is my substitute, and he's yours too. So instead of us having to pay, then the Lord Jesus pays in our stead. You remember from Sunday morning, I preached on how the Lord Jesus said he was the door, but in the 10th chapter of John, there is the Lord talking about how he's the good shepherd. And what did he say there? He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Gives his life for the sheep. So he is our substitution. Where the wrath should be upon us, the wrath was placed upon the Lord Jesus in our stead. Then number four, word number four was or is the word redemption. Redemption. And of course, we're all familiar with that word. Again, it goes back to the fact that the Lord Jesus went to the cross, and when he went to that cross, he redeemed us back to God. All right, he is our redeemer. The application of this word is that the sinner is in bondage, but he is brought back with a certain purchased price. And of course, the price was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lamb of God. So we are redeemed, and redeemed only by the blood of God's Lamb. So the sinner in bondage must be redeemed by someone else. All right? You must be redeemed by another. If I told God I want to die in the place of Pastor Holbrook, who's going to die for me? All right? So we must be redeemed by another, and that other is the sinless Son of God. You see, he had no sin. The wages of sin is what? But he had no sin, but yet he died. Why? Well, he died because while he was on that cross, God took your sin and my sin and had him pay the penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And on the cross, he died in my place. So he is our redemption. You see, folks, the only one that we can get to redeem us is by, the only way we can get one to redeem us is by getting someone who is not a sinner to take our place and die in my stead so that I can be redeemed. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. That little word, vicarious, simply means a substitute. And that's what the Lord Jesus became. He became our substitute. It's rather ironic that the Catholic folks claim the Pope is the vicar. Do you hear that? Vicarious. He's the vicar of heaven. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means that he is a substitute. Now, that's not true, but that's what they believe. The Pope is the vicar of heaven, and so therefore, when he speaks, then he takes on the voice of God. And when he acts in God's action. So he is called the vicar. Vicariously, he's God. No, but no. Man, how in the world can you get something so twisted around? But you give the devil a second and he'll twist it, won't he? So I think it's clearly evident that the Lord Jesus did not die for his sin, because he had none, but instead he was God's sinless substitute who willingly went to the cross so he could die for you and for me. All right? Word number five. Now this is where we left off last week. Word number five. And this is the word reconciliation. Now, that's a big old 50-cent word. Let me spell it for you. All right. R-E. What's R-E mean? All you school teachers, English teachers, what's R-E? Again? Who said again? Very good. That's right. Again. All right. So reconciliate. What's conciliate? To appease, to bring together, to reconcile, to bring one together with another without conflict. All right? Everything settled between the two. And that's the idea that is behind this word reconciliation. R-E-C-O-N-C-I-L-I-A-T-I-O-N, reconciliation. Now, take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians 5. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. All right, if y'all are paying attention, you see where both sermons from last Sunday came from. All right. All right, chapter 5. All right, look at verse 19 of chapter 5. Verse 19. Let's go back to 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ. All right, so we are looking at the word reconciliation. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what's that mean? Well, that simply means that we are to go and tell others how they can be reconciled to God. You see, God leaves us here. You know, ideally, if when we got saved, God would just say, okay, and kill us and take us on to heaven. Ideally. All right? Now, but he leaves us here. So why does he leave us here? Well, because we have loved ones. We have neighbors. We have people we work with, me especially. We have people we work with. All right, you see what I'm saying? And so we've got to tell others. That's why he leaves us here. He gives us the ministry of reconciliation. So we are to tell others how they can be saved. Now look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You remember what Jesus said to the disciples? You remember what he said? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, you're looking at him right here. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And folks, I tell you again, when you get to heaven, you're not going to see God. God is a spirit. You can't see a spirit. You say, well, then who am I going to see? God. You say, okay, well, now I'm confused. Well, don't be confused, because Jesus is God. What John say? He said that he looked and there on the throne in the midst of heaven, there on the throne was the Son of God as if a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So John didn't see God the Father. God is spirit. And they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. But you're going to see Jesus, and I'm going to tell you, that's going to be enough. You're going to be thoroughly satisfied by looking the Lord Jesus square in the face. So Christ's death on the cross has reconciled man with God. Our enmity, which is sin, our enmity is no longer there. It's under the blood. We've been reconciled. We've been brought together as if nothing had ever been wrong. You know? And that's neat, isn't it? So look at reconciliation this way. Look at it like this. At first, God and Adam were face to face with each other. Do you remember that? They were face to face. But in sinning, Adam turned his back on God. And then God turned his back on Adam. Where are you, Adam? Well, we're over here. Where's over here? Well, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? What's the problem, Adam? You see, Adam didn't want to talk about it. You say, well, why wouldn't Adam want to talk to God? Same reason we don't want to talk to God. It's called sin. But what happened? Well, you remember it was God who took the blood and made atonement and reconciled himself with man through the atoning blood. And God made the covering. Turn to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. and chapter 2. Chapter 2. All right, and let's look down at verse. Let's go down to verse 17, all right? Verse 17 says, "Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make," now he's talking about Jesus here, don't miss that, all right? And he says, in things pertaining to God. So Jesus became our high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. All right, now, what in the world is that saying? Well, what that is saying is that that Jesus went to the cross as our great high priest. Now, what did the high priest do in the Old Testament? What was his job in the Old Testament? Well, he was to offer a sacrifice on behalf of the nation, the people, all the people. Okay? And so that was his responsibility. He made reconciliation between God and the nation, the people. How'd he do it? Through the blood. All right? Through the blood. That's how he did it. And so now in the New Testament, the picture is that he's talking about reconciliation here, and he's talking about Jesus, and he says that Jesus, our great high priest, went to the cross so he could reconcile us back to God. That's, man, what a beautiful picture. But that's what Jesus did for us. That's what Jesus did. And then number six, lastly, Christ's death is presented, number six, as the payment of a ransom. The payment of a ransom. The idea of a ransom is that of paying a price in order to set another free. All right? Paying the price to set another free. All right, go back just a couple of books to the book of 1 Timothy. All right, 1 Timothy. And look at chapter 2. Chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. All right, let's see. Let's start with verse 1, all right? He said, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications." Now, you know what supplications are, right? That's praying for others, okay? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all, there's that little word again, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Again, it's God's will that all men be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right? Who will have all men, verse 4, to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Well, that's what God wants us to do. Now look at verse 5. For there is one God and one, what?
Mediator
between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, how was he our mediator? All right? Well, listen. Who gave himself, verse 6, who gave himself a what?
Ransom.
And there's that little word, all again. Jesus died on that cross and paid the ransom price. The wages of sin is what? Death. And so Jesus paid our price, the ransom price, for all to be testified in due time. All right, so the idea of a ransom is that of paying a price to set another free. And folks, we are the ones being held in bondage, and the Lord Jesus Christ paid the ransom so that we could be set free. Set free. I am so glad I don't have to pay those wages. So glad. Because the truth is, you'll spend all of eternity paying that ransom, and you won't get it paid off. All of eternity in an awful place called hell. Imagine that. And still never get it paid. But God's only begotten went to that cross, and he paid it for us. You see, the debt, listen carefully to this, the debt that required canceling is due to God's attribute of justice. Satan has no legal claims against the sinner. And so we do not need the devil to pay the price for us. He has no hold. He didn't create us. He didn't create us. The Lord created us. And so no need to be paid before the sinner can be set free. That price was paid by Jesus. He's the only one who could have paid it. Look at it this way. God's mercy ransoms man from God's justice. Does that make sense to you? Boy, it does to me. It does to me. Could you imagine just after Adam sinned, could you imagine the conversation in heaven? Could you imagine? Here's God, here's Christ, and God says they've sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus looks over at the Father and says, but Father, we love Adam and Eve. We can't send them to death. But the justice of God speaks and says, wait a minute, the justice of Almighty God declares that the sinner must pay sin's wages. Mercy steps up. Mercy says, but Father, surely there is something we can do. And justice looks over at mercy and says, now, mercy, they got to pay. Somebody's got to pay their price. And mercy looks and says, well, Eve can't do it for Adam. She's just as guilty as he is. And Adam can't do it for Eve. He's just as guilty as she's guilty. I can't get one of those animals down there to do it. And God looks at mercy and grace and says, or mercy and justice and says, well, now we got a problem then, don't we? Because somebody has to pay that justice. Well, what about your mercy? Wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And folks, I think it's about right there where the Lord Jesus stepped up and the Lord Jesus said, Father, I have a plan. Why don't you let me go down? I'll go down to the earth and I'll be born of a virgin, so I won't be a sinner. And I'll live a certain number of years and then I will not sin even one time. And justice, you can take me and nail me to a cross. And I'll shed my precious blood so that my blood can pay the ransom price for Adam and for Eve. And mercy is standing over there saying, I like that idea. And justice looks at mercy and says, I'm good with it as long as there is a ransom paid. And that's where the Lord Jesus stepped in for you and for me. He didn't have to, but he did. That's our Savior. That's our loving Savior. That's how much our Savior loves each one of us. Jesus paid the ransom price with his death on the cross. So folks, never forget the wages of sin is death. And somebody has to pay your wages. Now, it's either going to be you for all of eternity in hell because you have rejected the ransom, or you can humble yourself, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he came here to do, and he'll pay your price for you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I vote let Jesus pay for it. Amen. So these are six Bible words, folks, that describe our Lord's death and what his death means in our salvation. You know what salvation? Salvation is this. The word that is used for salvation basically is the word that means salvaging. The Lord salvages us. All right? That's grace. Because not a one of us deserve it. Amen? Not a one. He provided us with an atonement, a propitiation, a substitution, a redemption, a reconciliation, and praise the Lord, his death paid our ransom to God for the wages of sin. These six words describe the meaning of our Lord's death on the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord for what he did for us. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And we thank you for these six terms that men have literally written volumes upon each one of these words. And Father, I pray that you'll bless these to our hearts. I pray you'll give us understanding of each of these words and help us to go home and study them and look up the verses and just read over and over and over what you did for us. And Father, I pray that the Word of God will encourage us and strengthen our faith, and we'll give you the praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.